Amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 this evening. And came across a passage of Scripture and found it very interesting and felt the Lord kind of lead me to preach that, and got to read into the chapter and found what the Lord did want me to preach. And so I hope that we can look at this Scripture tonight and get something that'll help us, something that'll be a practical help to us as Christians. Amen? Amen. And I'm not one of those preachers that believes only the New Testament is applicable to our lives. Amen? I believe that all of God's Word is inspired and given for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I was reminded of some things in my Christian life here this evening when I was reading the Scripture today. And I hope they can be a blessing to you. Israel is still in the wilderness in Deuteronomy in chapter number 6. And if you're familiar with your Bible books and the way they're laid out, this is the fifth book of Moses, and it's titled fittingly Deuteronomy, as it would be derived from the Hebrew words, or rather the Greek words deutero and nomos, which just means the second law or the repetition of the law. And if you read the book, you'll understand why it's named fittingly so. And in this book, God is urging Israel to keep the commandments of God. And in this sixth chapter primarily, that's exactly what he's doing. But Moses and Aaron disobeyed God, and God told them that they would not be able to see the promised land, but Moses is still faithful to God. I tell you, the mark of a great servant is someone who keeps on serving God even after great disappointments, even after they encounter great heartache and disappointment in their life, they continue on for God. And Moses realizes that he still has a job and he still has a position and the leader of this camp and these multitudes and God's people. And in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, God is still using Moses, and God urges Israel to keep his commandments if they want to find great blessing. And we are going to read a fair portion of Scripture tonight, but I believe it's important for the message. And the Bible says in chapter number 6 and verse number 1, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, and keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine head, and shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things, which thou fillest good, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, or of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath hath spoken. Now, we've read a fair portion of Scripture here tonight, but like I mentioned previously, I believe it's important for the message, for what I'd like for us to understand and grasp here tonight. And I believe that there's a common theme throughout this chapter and throughout this portion of Scripture we've read. God wishes for His people to walk in His commandments, to walk in His statutes, to observe the ordinances which He set forth for them. And He wants them to walk according to His Word. God promises His children that if they'll walk according to the Word of God, that He will bless them, that He will keep them, that He will reward them, that God will continue to preserve them just as He has all this time before. And if the Lord will help me tonight, I want to preach for just a few moments on this thought, walking in the Word. Walking in the Word. Let's pray. Father, we need Your touch tonight. Lord, You know that by myself I'm unable to do anything, Lord, much less preach, God. And Lord, You know that I need Your Spirit in this hour. God, I pray that You create within me a clean heart and a clean vessel ready to be used by You for Your honor and for Your glory. Lord, let not vain words be spoken behind the pulpit here tonight, but God, I pray that You just direct my every thought, my every word. And Lord, as we examine Your Word here tonight, let us see Christ and let us see Him lifted up. Let us be convicted of the things in our lives and the ways that we could walk a little bit closer in Your Word in our own lives. And Lord, we'll thank You for all that You'll do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to notice by way of introduction a few things leading into the Scriptures that we're going to look at. And we're kind of going to be all over these 19 verses here. But it struck me something here in verse number 2, something I found interesting. God says that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and keep His statutes and His commandments, which I commanded thee, thou, and thy son, and thy son's son. We live in a day and age in which people believe that the truth is it is reliant upon what the culture says or what the cultural norm is or what people are doing outside of the walls of the church or outside of the Scriptures and the authority of God's Word. But God tells His people, God relays this message to Moses and tells him that exactly what He commanded him, He will command His sons and their sons after. If I could use a little bit of West Virginia vernacular here tonight, if it was good for Pawpaw, it's good for you and I. Amen. If this book worked for them, it's good for you and I. If God's Word saved sinners back then, it's still going to save sinners today. And God tells them, He says, I've got no plans of changing. Amen. I'm glad that He's a God who never sleeps nor slumbers. He's a God who's the same yesterday as He was today. And guess what? He'll be the very same tomorrow. That's what God tells him in verse number 2. He says, I commanded thou and thy son's son all the days of thy life. See, one of the greatest keys to living the Christian life, I firmly believe this, and I wouldn't know this like many of you in here this evening know this, but I believe it's consistency. I believe it's sticking with the stuff. I believe it's walking according to the ways of God and observing those things consistently day in and day out. See, what the flesh wants, what the world wants, is they want something new. Amen. They feel like they get stale, like they get involved in some sort of a routine, and they feel like, well, we just need to change things up a bit. Listen, if God said to stick with the stuff, we're going to stick with the stuff. Amen. Amen. He says that in verse number 2, and in verses number 4 and 5, He'll say this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. He's expressing, He's exhorting, He's exalting Himself above the people, and He's telling them, He said, listen, you need to love Me, you need to honor Me, you need to observe the things which I've commanded you, because guess what? He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it in here tonight. If God says something, you and I are to observe it. You and I are to follow. You and I are to submit. You and I are not to ask questions. We are to walk diligently according to the precepts of God's law. If God says, they used to sing an old gospel song years ago, old Southern gospel song said, God settles it, I believe it, or God said it, I believe it, and that makes it right, or so that settles it, something to that extent. There's only one problem with that song. Amen. Whether you believe it or not, if God said it, that settles it. God saying, there's one God. There's one Lord. You're to love me with all your heart. You're to give me all your thanks. You're to give me all your praise. You're to observe me in all these things. He says that in verses number 4 and 5. I believe he's worthy to be praised. In verse 6 he says this, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. God says, I want you to understand these and I want you to remember them. Solomon would say in the second proverb, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding. It's one thing for us to hear preaching. It's one thing for us to read this book. It's another thing entirely for us to hide it in our heart and to understand it and to observe it and to love God and to meditate on the things of God with all the days He gives us. God desires that we'll hide these words in our heart that we might not sin against Him, as David said. And this is the verse I came across that I found intriguing. This is not where we'll draw the main part of our message tonight. But God says in verse number 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. There's a lot of things that parents ought to teach their kids. Amen. They ought to teach their kids to brush their teeth. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There'd be, if parents would teach their kids to brush their teeth, they'd put the breath mint companies out of business. That's a good thing to teach kids, ain't it? Hey, I'm glad my dad taught me how to change a tire, amen? I've needed that kind of help a time or two in my life. There's lots of things that I'm glad that my parents have taught me and are profitable, but there's one thing above all else that it's important that parents teach their children, and it is to love God.
Amen.
You can teach your kids to work hard and be upstanding citizens and do all this and that, and it's all good and well, but if you don't teach them to love God, That's missing the whole point there.
Amen.
And I believe there's a lot of churches, and man, I might upset people saying this in many churches, but there's a lot of youth pastors in churches who catch a lot of flack and get in a lot of trouble for things that they're not responsible for.
Amen.
It is not the youth pastor's job to train up a child in the ways of the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible didn't say youth pastors train up these children in the ways of the Lord.
Amen.
But God tells His people, He says, I've given you this truth, I've given you this law, I've given you these commandments, and He says, teach them to your children. Why is He telling them to teach it to children? Because if they don't, it'll pass away in one generation.
Amen.
The things that this generation forgets to teach to this generation, well, they won't have that, and then they'll forget to teach this generation these things, and before we know it, we have a culture, we have churches that know nothing about God, that know nothing about the words of God, that know nothing about the character of God, and it's because God has told us to pass these things down, and oftentimes we fail Him. He says that thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. He's talking about the law. He's talking about the words of God. And he says, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. It is important that you are the same person in the privacy of your house that you are when you're in the church.
Amen.
Church isn't just the only place you should talk about the Bible.
Amen.
Church isn't just the only place you should pray. Church is not just the only place that you should praise God and give God glory. He says when you're around the supper table, He says when you're getting ready for bed, when you're waking up, He gives all these examples. He says when you're alone, when you're in your house, He said your home should be a haven. Your home should be, God should feel just as welcome in your home as He does in the church house.
Amen.
He says observe these things. He says meditate on these things. He said talk about these things. There's a lot of time, our lives need to be saturated with God's Word. And when thou walkest by the way, when you're out and about, when you're out in public, just like Miss Carol mentioned a moment ago when she testified, like the boys out there giving those tracts out, or when you're talking to somebody, take any route you can, take any avenue you get to tell them about Jesus, to tell them about God, to tell them that hell's still hot, heaven's still sweet, and Jesus still saves sinners.
Amen.
I'm glad somebody shared the gospel with me, amen. I'm glad somebody out in the way was willing to invite me to church one day.
Amen.
I thank God for that. And when thou liest down, I began to think about this, and I hope and I pray that when you read your Bibles, it's personal to you. I began to thinking about going to bed. I began to think about all the, there might be days that go by, and many more days than I wish that I've gone to bed and I've had things on my mind or disappointments or stress, and it just robs you of good sleep, doesn't it? But I tell you, when you take some time and you clear you off a spot and you get in the Word of God and you get down on your knees and you pray and you fellowship with the Lord, it makes it a lot easier to pillow your head at night.
Amen.
I believe that. He says, when thou liest down and when thou risest up, there's going to be no better start to your day than starting it off with God. I believe prayer is the best way to start off any day. I believe reading your Bible and getting something from God. I love to read my Bible in the morning because it gives me something to chew on through the day. It gives me something to think about through the day. We ought to take our Bibles and read them until we know God has spoken to us. And then whatever God tells us, whatever God teaches us through His Word, we ought to try and apply it to our hearts throughout the day. But if you miss out on God, you miss out on that at the beginning of your day.
Amen.
You wander through the day, you're stressed, you're tired, you're worn out, spiritually speaking. And listen, if you do your devotions at night, I'm not saying anything against that. I'm just saying, it's an awful good idea to start your day out with the Lord.
Amen.
Verses 8 and 9, he says this, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand." I read one commentator and he kind of confirmed what I thought. I thought about why would the Lord put that there? Because these men, what are they doing? They're going to be using their hands for everything they're doing, aren't they? If they're building, if they're eating, if they're keeping the sun out of their eyes, whatever they're doing, they're going to see that there, that parchment, that law bound up on their hand. It's going to be a reminder to them. You ever set yourself reminders? Listen, if you're as forgetful as I am, you got to set reminders. I have about 10,000 reminders on my phone reminding me to do a whole bunch of different things. So God is saying, I want it to be a reminder. And they take it, the frontlets, and they bound them, they put them on their forehead. So that not only physically, but spiritually speaking, that's what was on their mind. They were thinking, I've got the Word of God on my forehead. I better be a good example. I better observe these things. I've got them right there. And of course, just like anything, religious people would take that and go overboard with it. We find the problems there in the New Testament that Paul had to deal with them. But what I'm saying is that God, when He instituted this, it was for a good reason. God was trying to remind His people that they are to observe His law. And in verse number 9, he says this, "And write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." He's saying, essentially, if you haven't got it by now, he says, when you wake up, when you lay down, when you walk by the way, when you're in your house, when you're teaching your kids, on the post of your house, on the post of your gate, on your wrists, on your foreheads, he's saying, I want your entire life to be saturated with the words of God. I want every aspect of your life to be rooted and grounded in the fundamental truths of God's Word. And why is that? Why is it that God wishes for His people to be so observant of His Word? I believe if we look in the rest of the text here, we'll see just a few things that might help us this evening. First and foremost, because of the fruitfulness of God. The fruitfulness of God. The Bible says this in verse number 10, "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee a great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou filledest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full." God desires for our Christian life to be a fruitful Christian life. He says, listen, you walk in the Word, you observe these things, you do the things that I've commanded you to do. He says, I'm going to bless you. He said, I'll put a roof over your head. He said, I'll give you the vineyards, I'll give you all these things. He said, you will have a fruitful life. How is it that Canaan's land was so many oftentimes before Deuteronomy chapter number 6 described? A land that floweth with milk and honey. The spies, when they came back, they brought back figs and they brought back grapes and grapefruits and all these things and all these fruits from that land. We talked about it just a few weeks ago in the preaching. God desires that you and I, as Christians, will walk in the Word of God so that we'll have a fruitful Christian life. Now, speaking not so much as physical fruit, of spiritual fruit, Paul would say this to the Galatians. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such of the like. I will tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, capital S, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
Amen.
God said, these are the things I want for you to have. He said, I've not set up any law that keeps you from having joy. I've not set up any law. I've not placed any law in your life that keeps you from exercising meekness and goodness and temperance. Why? God's laws, God's statutes. Listen to me. If you look at the Bible as a rule book, you're going to be one miserable Christian.
Amen.
David said he found gladness in the law of the Lord, that he delighted in it, that he meditated in it day and night. Why? Because you observe the things that are in that book right there, God's going to bless you, and you're going to have a fruitful Christian life. Listen to me. If I want my life to be anything, I want it to be fruitful. I want to have some kind of fruit to yield to God. God's will is that we, by obedience, will obey Him and that we will yield up to Him spiritual fruit. Listen to me. That's the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost of God, is who produces that love, that joy, that meekness, that temperance, that long-suffering, that goodness. The Holy Ghost of God is who brings forth that fruit in your life. But we've got to provide fertile ground. How do we provide that fertile ground? When we observe God's law. When we walk in His Word. We sing that song, Trust and Obey. Amen. No other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We ought to walk in the Word because of the fruitfulness of God, but because of the forgetting of God as well. The Bible say this in verse number 12, Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He'll say this again in 14. Ye shall not go after other gods, the gods of your people which are round about you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. What's he doing? He's reminding them. The Bible says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. He's saying, you better get this established early on. You better get this right early on so you don't forget about God as the days go by, as the months go by, as the years go by. It's important that we remember God. Now, we spoke a few weeks ago about how that Canaan is a picture of the victorious Christian life and how that Egypt was a picture of the world and the crossing of the Red Sea was a picture of salvation. However, the crossing of the Jordan River was a picture of a Christian yielding himself to God. And what we find from the pictures in the Scriptures that many a people have forgotten where God has brought them from. Many a people have forgotten the sin that God delivered from. That's why He'll remind them. I'm not sure how many times in the Bible the phrase is mentioned, the Lord your God which brought you up out of the land of the Egypt from under the hand of the bondage of Pharaoh. Listen, God saved us from our sin. God's delivered us. God's changed us. God's done something in our lives, and we ought not to forget what God's done.
Amen.
Peter said it this way. He's speaking on virtue, and he says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins.
Amen.
He said, listen, you forget about God, you're going to get back into sin. You're going to be living just like you did over there in Egypt. Just the way you were before you're unsaved.
Amen.
God warns us not to forget about Him. God warns us. He says in verse 16, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted Him in Massa. He says, listen, he said, you're going to go back to making the same mistakes. He said, you're going to go back to offending God and living unholy and living wicked if you forget about the deliverance of God. And he says, that's why I've given you my Word. Amen. We need to walk in the Word so we don't forget about what God has done.
Amen.
That's why it's so important. I know it sounds simple. I know it sounds cliche, but the two greatest things you can do to grow as a Christian in your life is pray and read your Bible.
Amen.
Read your Bible and pray. You'll grow as a Christian. You don't read your Bible, what do? You forget about God.
That's right.
You forget to pray. You stop prioritizing the things of God, and before you know it, you're making idols in your life. Remember what happened when Moses went up on Sinai? He went up there to get the law from God, to get the tablets of stone at the first giving of the law, and so that God could make a covenant with His people. And the people were down there, and they're waiting on Moses. They said, well, we're going to cast all our gold together and make an image and worship it. They created idols in their life. Why? Because they forgot what God had done. They just went back to what they knew in Egypt. Same stuff they were doing in Egypt, that's what they went back to doing. We got to walk in the Word of God, not only so we won't forget, so we'll have the fruitfulness of God, but so we won't forget about God, and so that we'll have the fear of God. Verse number 13, look what the Bible says. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him, and shalt swear by His name. Someone whose heart and mind is saturated, someone who's infatuated with this Bible, is going to fear God much more than someone who is not.
Amen.
Listen to me.
Amen.
If you've never read the Bible and come across something that had you shaking in your boots, I tell you, friend, you're missing out. There are things in this world, things that we've done that we're going to have to give an account for and answer to God for on Judgment Day. I'm talking about the judgment of believers. I'm not talking about the judgment of the damned. I'm not talking about the great white throne judgment tonight. I'm talking about the judgment seat of Christ, where you and I will give an account and our works will be burned up before the Lord as fire. And it has nothing to do with our salvation, but it has a lot to do with our rewards and what we have to cast at Jesus' feet.
Amen.
If that doesn't make you tremble, there's nothing in this world that will. God says, walk in my word so that you'll fear me. D.L. Moody said this, sin will either keep you from the Bible or the Bible will keep you from sin. Those are your two options here this evening. David said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. David is pouring his heart out to God. He said, God, let me learn your word. Let me learn your statutes. Let me learn your law. Let me learn your ordinances. He says, let me hide these things in my heart that I might not sin, that I might not offend you, that I might not invoke the wrath of God on my life. Because listen, God chasteneth whom He loveth.
Amen.
And you and I as Christians have to be very careful not to get involved in sin in our lives, because we bring about the wrath and the judgment of God when we do so. God says, walk in my word, remember my word, so that you'll fear me.
Amen.
Those Israelites dancing around that golden calf at the base of Mount Sinai, you know what they've done? They've forgotten the fear of God. We live in a day and age, it's downright scary. People just don't fear God anymore.
Amen.
A lot of preachers aren't preaching the Word of God anymore. They're preaching whatever will tickle ears and make people feel good and have people leaving warm and fuzzy and coming back. And what that leads to is a bunch of people who got sin in their lives and they don't care.
Amen.
God says, walk in my Word so that you'll fear me. Thus far we've seen the fruitfulness of God and the forgetting of God and the fear of God. And last but not least, we'll finish with this here this evening, the fight of God. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? I want you to notice the last little phrase from the Scripture that we read here this evening, verse number 19. To cast out all thine enemies. Let's read verse 18. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, and that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy father, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And I began to think, and from the perspective of a natural man, you know what he'll say? He'll say, nice guys finish last, the good guys, they always lose. You got to fight dirty to win. That's what they say. And I got to thinking about how God promised the victory to the Israelites, that they would win in the heat of this battle against the Amalekites and the Amorites and the Moabites and all these, the Canaanites that inhabited the promised land. And God says, I'll give you victory in the battle if you'll observe my commandments. See, the natural man would say, well, they should have been training. They should have been practicing. They should have been making bigger, sharper, sleeker, faster weapons. But it didn't have anything to do with that.
Amen.
Didn't even have anything to do with their number or their stature or their strength. It had nothing to do with that. God said, if you take care of the things I've commanded you to take care of, I'm going to take care of you.
Amen.
I'll leave you with an interesting thought tonight. In Deuteronomy in chapter number 33, if you want to turn there, you can. In verse number 24 and 25, the Bible says this, and God makes this promise to the tribe of Asher. He says this to him. And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. What many of commentators have said and what many of commentators have believed is that God promises prosperity. That oil, that's a picture of fertility. That olive oil, that's what he's talking about. He says, all the brethren, he says, everybody who dwells in the midst of your borders, your brethren, you'll be acceptable to you. There won't be any strife between you. You're going to be loved by all the nation of Israel. You're going to be blessed with fruitfulness. You're going to be blessed with the olive oil. It's going to flow. You're going to be rich. You're going to have everything that you need. I'm going to supply all these things. But he says this, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. A lot of people will say, well, that means for every day that they're living, God's giving them strength. And I don't quite believe that that's exactly what it means. I believe what God is saying is, so as thy days, so shall by thy strength, so shall thy strength be. God's saying, if you'll walk in my word, if you'll obey me, if you'll serve me, if you'll stay in your place and do what God's told you to do, I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to give you grace. I don't find anywhere in the Bible where the Bible says you can live any way you want and God will bless you for it.
Amen. That's right.
But I do read where God's obedience brings His blessing. And what God desires for you and us tonight as Christians to do is to walk in His Word, to serve Him, to love Him, to obey Him. Are you walking in His Word tonight? Do you fear Him tonight? Is your Christian life fruitful tonight? Have you forgotten about God tonight? Is God giving you victory in the fight tonight? Ask yourself, am I walking in His Word? Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around but me. Our piano player is not here tonight, but I'm going to sing a song of invitation. What I'll do at this time is I'll just invite anybody that would want to come to this altar and pray to come up here and pray about whatever God's put on your heart. Maybe you're struggling in this fight. Maybe you need some help. Maybe you just need strengthened in the Word of God to walk in His Word. I invite you to come to the altar. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you don't know for certain that you're on your way to heaven, I'll ask you tonight, would you raise your hand and say, preacher, I don't even know if I've ever been saved. Will you raise your hand? How many raise their hand tonight and say, preacher, I know that I've been saved, but sometimes I have a hard time walking in His Word, and I need God's touch and I need God's help. God bless those hands all over the sanctuary. I'm going to sing, and I invite you to come to the altar tonight. 'Tis so sweet.